Here's your pass to the Globe Theater. This is the Globe Theater, the radio playhouse especially for men and women of the armed forces of the United Nations. Just as the Globe Theater has meant the best in entertainment since the days of Shakespeare, today it means the best in radio drama for service men and women all over the globe. Here to tell you about tonight's play is your host at the Globe Theater, Herbert Marshall.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Globe Theater. As always, the theater doors are open wide to every man and woman in the uniform of the armed forces of the United Nations. And as always, we have some of the theater's finest performers here to entertain you with a play which really should score. Tonight, the playbill reads Walter Abel, Louise Alberton, Ralph Bellamy, and David Bruce. The story is from one of the past year's very successful motion pictures, Phantom Lady. During the next 26 minutes or so, you are going to find out what not to do with a necktie. For behavior of this sort results not only in frowns from Emily Post, but also in jury verdicts of guilty of murder. I think you'll get a kick out of this murder mystery yarn, so let's get on with the action. You'll hear Louise Arbuton as Kansas, Walter Abel as Inspector Burgess, David Bruce as Scott Henderson, and Ralph Bellamy as Marlowe. Curtain going up on Phantom Lady.
You see, I was Scott Henderson's secretary, and not that I'd ever have let him guess, but even then I knew I was in love. That morning started like any other morning. I went into Mr. Henderson's office and switched on the dictaphone to see what instructions he'd left for me.
Good morning, Kansas.
He always called me Kansas.
Listen, I won't be in till noon. I got a meeting on the Peabody job.
I stood there,
so you'd better
listening,
check
glad to pick up the morning paper.
And then... off to him.
Mrs. Scott Henderson strangled to death. Police hold well-known engineer.
We'll have to revise the Henley bit.
I stood there. And the dictaphone ran on, and the sun came flooding in the window. And suddenly, all the world was black.
Why don't you stop? Why don't you let me go? I'm tired.
I'm tired, too. We're all tired, Henderson, all but your wife. She's dead, with your necktie knotted around her throat.
I didn't do it. How many times do I have to tell you?
All right, let's go over it again. Yesterday you gave a little cocktail party.
That was for Jack Marlowe, my friend. He was sailing for South America.
And afterward you planned to take your wife to dinner in the theater.
She wouldn't go. She knew I'd gotten tickets, but she laughed at me. Said she was bored. Said she couldn't stand me anymore.
So you went out and had dinner alone. And then you dropped into that little bar.
Anselmo's place on 56th. And I got to talking with that girl. The bartender saw us sitting together.
The bartender says you were alone.
I wasn't. I was sitting with that girl. She was feeling low, and so was I. So I asked her to go to the theater with me.
And she said she would. So you left together and got into a cab.
That's right. Just ask the driver. He'll tell you I was with the girl.
The driver says you were alone.
He's lying. That girl went to the theater with me. We were in the first row, and the drummer in the orchestra kept smirking at her. That drummer saw her. Why don't you make him talk?
The drummer says you were alone.
Then what about that singer, Estella Montiero? She was wearing a hat, a funny hat, the kind you don't see in 100 years. And then she looked down and saw this girl's hat, and, well, she got so mad she could hardly sing.
Your companion's hat was a duplicate of hers?
That's right. Absolutely the same.
Montiero says there are no hats like hers. Hers are designed and made to order.
She's lying. They're all lying. Why are they ganging up on me? Why doesn't somebody tell the truth?
Why don't you tell me your girlfriend's name?
I've told you I don't know her name. She wanted it like that. Just companions for the evening. No names, no questions, nothing personal.
And all you're sure of is the hat.
Oh, it's getting so I'm not sure of anything. I've got to find her, Inspector. I've got to find her!
That's right, or you're going to find your neck in a noose.
Yes?
Hello, is Miss Carol Richmond there?
This is Carol Richmond.
One moment, please. Rio de Janeiro calling.
Rio?
Ready, Rio. Go ahead.
Hello, Miss Richmond. This is Jack Marlowe.
Mr. Marlowe, you've heard.
Just read it in the papers down here, but I don't believe it. Scott wouldn't do a thing like that.
Of course he wouldn't. But they're holding him. They're trying to save him.
Maybe I better hop a plane. I could be home in a couple of days.
Oh, no. No, you mustn't. Mr. Henderson says it's your big chance down there. He says you'll be the greatest sculptor in the world.
But he's my best friend, and he's in trouble.
Don't you worry, Mr. Marlowe. We'll work it out. We'll get the truth. Somehow, some way, we'll get the truth. The truth. It all depended on that unknown girl. The girl with the hat. The girl that no one else had seen. But they had seen her. I was sure of that. I was sure that all those witnesses had lied. Someone would have to break them down. Take them one at a time, right from the first. The first. That meant the bartender. And so I went to Anselmo's place.
Something for you, miss?
2 scotch and sodas, please.
2? You expecting somebody, miss?
Yes. I'm waiting for Scott Henderson. That hit him hard. I could tell by the way he looked, by the way he watched me all night as I sat there at the bar just staring at him, never saying another word. And when he left at closing time, I followed him. He managed to walk rather slowly at first, almost defiantly, as if he didn't care. And then he went a little faster, and faster, and faster until he was almost running, and then suddenly he stopped and turned.
What do you want? Why do you keep on following me?
You have something to tell me.
You're wasting your time.
You know what's going to happen to him. You can prevent it. Get it off your conscience.
Don't ask me. Go ask the guy that gave it to me.
Gave you what?
Nothing.
It was money, wasn't it? Somebody gave you a bribe.
I ain't talking, I tell you, and I ain't staying around here either. I'm going to get so far away from him.
Look out! He was dead when they picked him up. And all my hopes of getting the truth might have died there with him. Except that next day I had a visitor. Inspector Burgess, who had handled the case against Scott.
Miss Richmond, I won't say I did my job poorly. The evidence is taking him to the chair. But, since the trial, I've done a lot of thinking.
I think you should have done it before.
Only a fool or an innocent man would have stuck to that silly alibi, and Scott's no fool, so maybe he's been telling the truth.
Are you trying to say that...
Well, officially the case is closed, but unofficially, I'd like to help. How about it?
Oh, Inspector Burgess,
No, take it easy. We got a lot of work to do. With that bartender gone, I figure that drummer is our best bet now.
Yes, maybe. He must have seen the girl. Scott said he smirked at her.
Yeah, nasty little character. You can take this report along and read all the dope we've got on him.
Reading a report won't make him talk.
Now, that's just the beginning. Suppose you rig yourself up like a cheap little dame. You know, tight dress, frizzed hair, lots of rouge and mascara.
Oh, I don't get it.
You will. You're going to that show tonight. A seat in the first row orchestra on the side where that drummer can't help but notice you.
Oh.
And when he looks at you, you look right back. And maybe you sort of give him the eye.
And maybe he tries to make a date.
No maybe about it. If he doesn't, you're slipping.
Hiya, baby. Let me have a look at you.
What do you know? You really waited.
Well, you asked me, didn't you?
I sure did. Hey, when you started giving me the eye, I come near falling right in my drums.
Oh, I'm just nuts about drums. And you play swell.
Yeah, thanks, baby. Oh, by the way, the handle's Cliff. Cliff Milburn.
I'm Jeannie.
Okay, Jeannie, let's go out and get some drinks, huh?
Sure, Cliff. Then maybe later we can go up to your place and sort of have a talk.
Baby, how about a little kiss, huh?
Kiss?
Why do you think we come up here? You like me, don't you?
Oh, I'm sure, Cliff, sure.
Oh, it's more like it, Jeannie. Oh, what do you think of my place?
Well, it ain't exactly what I expected, Cliff. I mean, with all the dough you make.
My dough goes on other things. And a lot of it's going to go on you, too.
Honest, Cliff? No kidding?
No kidding. I'm going to make you look class, baby. No junk, either, like this dress you got on. This dress is cheesy.
Oh, I suppose you don't like my hat, either.
I'm going to stake you to a carload of hats.
Ah, Cliff, you're sweet. Oh, but just imagine you picking out hats for me.
Why not? I'm an authority on hats. Sure, I get paid for knowing about hats.
Do you, Cliff?
The dame is sitting right behind me, right where you were sitting tonight. 500 smackaroos for just looking at a dame and saying I didn't see her.
Did she give you that 500, Cliff?
Huh?
Who gave you that money?
The man. I want a cigarette.
Later, please, Cliff. What did the man say?
He says no matter who asks, I gotta say I didn't. Give me a cigarette.
I haven't got it.
Oh, sure you have. Right here in your purse.
Oh, don't open that. Please.
Why not? All I want is a cig... Hey. Hey, this paper.
Give it to me, Cliff.
A police report. It's got my name and all about me. The cops are after me. They sent you here.
Oh, no, Cliff, they didn't.
Sending me a line saying you liked me. Trying to make me shoot off my mouth. Trying to make... Turn on that light. I can't see. Where are you? Hey, don't go. I won't hurt you. Don't go. Jeannie, come back. Come back, will you? I'm scared. I'm scared.
I'm sure, Inspector. I watched the house from across the way. That's where I phoned you, from that delicatessen. He saw her, Inspector. Somebody bribed him. If we can make him talk,
I've got a warrant in my pocket.
Here, this is the door.
Now stand behind me. Don't take any chances. That's funny. The door's open.
And the lights are on.
All right, Cliff, you've got company. Come on, Cliff, where are you?
Oh, he's gone. My purse, too. He took it with him.
He might have gone out the back. There's a flight of steps that...
That what? What's wrong?
He hasn't gone. He's here on the floor. Behind that chair.
All crumpled up. That muffler knotted around his throat.
Steady now. I'll have a look.
What is it? Is he...
Yes, Carol. He's dead. And this time it's no accident.
Two of them dead now. Two of them who wouldn't talk anymore. And the time getting so terribly short. I felt so helpless, all alone. But the next day I had a wonderful surprise. Scott's best friend, Jack Marlowe, flew back from Rio. He was so understanding, so kind.
This thing has hit you pretty hard, hasn't it, Carol?
It's been agony, Mr. Marlowe. If I could only find that woman. One word from her. Yes, I was with him that night, and Scott would walk out a free man.
Scott said there were several people who saw her. Have you tried them all?
Oh, I tried two of them. Now they're both dead. There's only that singer left now, Estella Monteiro. If she won't talk, I don't know what I'll do.
I can tell you. You're going back to Kansas for a while and take a rest from all this.
Oh, I can't. Not until that woman's found. I can't think of anything else.
You'll wear yourself out.
I don't care if it means Scott's life.
This is a man's job. Let me handle it.
Well, I'm sorry. I just couldn't sit by.
Tell you, I'm afraid for you, Carol.
Don't worry about me. Just find that woman. We've got to, Mr. Marlowe. The murderer would kill her if he could ever find her.
Yes, I think he would.
I suppose he'd kill me, too.
Don't say that.
Do you think I care? Do you think I'd want to live if Scott, if they... Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I know all about it. I used to watch you sitting at your desk the way you looked at him. I don't think he's ever dreamed that you're in love.
His life. That's all that counts now. And it looks so hopeless. Someone, whoever it is, always gets there first. He's so clever.
Yes. There's genius behind such audacity.
No, not genius, only madness.
Madness is a frightening word.
What else can you call it? To go on killing? But we will find him, all right. We'll find that woman. We'll work together, Mr. Marlowe, you and I, and Inspector Burgess.
Burgess?
He's helping unofficially. You don't mind?
Mind? Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm glad to have him.
Good idea, Marlowe. You're taking Carol to dinner. She's been running herself ragged on this case.
I'll take her to dinner, Inspector, if she ever finishes dressing. She's been in there almost an hour.
Oh, well, girls.
She's been taking this thing pretty hard, hasn't she?
Well, I don't blame her. I thought this case would be a cinch at first. Get the lowdown on everyone, friends, relatives. So I did, even you, Marlowe. Though I knew you were Scott's best friend.
I was in mid-ocean when it happened.
Oh, that's not important. None of you could have committed those murders.
Why not?
You're all too normal.
And you're sure the murderer isn't normal? You know, possibly he's just very clever.
Yeah, they're always clever when they're insane.
Insane?
Paranoiacs. They all have that ego, that abnormal cunning, that contempt for life.
You make him sound unbeatable.
No, no, it's just the time element I'm worried about. Scott's only got a couple of weeks.
But eventually, you're quite certain you'll catch the murderer?
I'll stake my reputation on it.
You might lose.
Oh, no, I won't lose. I know his type too well. We used to talk about the criminal type. Criminal type, my eye. It's not how a man looks, but how his mind works that makes him a strangler. Someday, we'll train the mind as we train the body. And then they won't need any men like me, and that'll be all right, too. Sorry, I'm all wound up tonight. Tired, I guess. You know how it is.
Yes. Yes, I think...
Marlowe, what's wrong? Easy now. Let me help you up.
I'm all right. Just got a little dizzy, that's all. I've been having these headaches.
Headaches?
Nothing serious.
Well, I'm ready. I said I'm ready. What's the matter? Is anything wrong?
Not at all, Kansas. We were just talking.
Yes, I was telling Marlowe I've got to go to Philadelphia tomorrow.
Philadelphia?
Just for a day. I'm on a case. And, Carol.
Yes?
I want you to make me a promise. Don't do anything until I get back.
I suppose I should have listened to him, but I couldn't. I just couldn't sit by and wait a whole day. I thought maybe there was one person left who could tell me the truth. Estella Monteiro, the girl on the show. She would talk to me, one woman to another. So early next morning, I went to her hotel and...
Well, I'm very sorry. Miss Monteiro is gone.
Gone? Are you sure?
Her show closed last night. We're just shipping her baggage out now. It's piled up over there in the lobby.
Oh, thanks anyway. Excuse me. Is that hers too? That hat box?
Oh, yes, that's hers.
You're sure? You're absolutely sure?
Why, of course. She has all her hats made by Madame Katisha.
It was true. Katisha had made that hat. That one that Miss Monteiro had worn on the show. She had made that hat and a duplicate. I finally forced her to admit it. For Miss Anne Terry, Hillhaven, Long Island. Jack, Mr. Marlowe, drove me down. And all the way, we kept asking each other, if Miss Terry had spent that evening with Scott, why hadn't she come forward to save his life? And then at last we had the answer from Miss Terry's nurse.
She's been very ill for weeks. Quite irrational. It often happens in these cases of shock.
Shock?
Yes, her fiancé died just before their wedding. He was sick only 2 days.
Oh, that's too bad.
She seemed to take it rather well at first. Until that day she went into town. She didn't come back till late that night.
That may have been the night she met with Scott. If we could just talk to her.
Carol, if she's irrational.
Oh, that's right. Wouldn't help. Nurse, could we see Miss Terry's hats?
Why, of course. They're all here in this closet.
At least if we could find the hat, we could prove that Scott was telling the truth. Then maybe they...
Yes, miss? The hat. There it is on the shelf. I was so terribly happy all the way back to town. But Jack, Mr. Marlowe, was acting strangely, sort of dazed and confused. He said he was having one of his headaches. And when we got to his place, he stretched out on the divan and closed his eyes. After a while, he seemed to be asleep. So I tiptoed into the bedroom to freshen up a bit. I remember I was looking for a comb. I opened the top dresser drawer and it was there, lying in the drawer. The purse I'd lost at Cliff Milburn's place. I knew now. I knew who had murdered Cliff. I knew who had murdered Scott Henderson's wife. For a moment, I stood there frozen, terrified. And then...
Carol? Carol, what are you doing?
Just freshening up a bit. I'm coming right out. There, don't I look better? I thought you were asleep.
That light, it hurts my eyes. Turn it off, please.
Of course.
My tie feels like it's choking me. Mind if I take it off?
No.
Thanks. You opened the dresser drawer, didn't you, Carol?
No.
Yes. You saw what was there, the purse.
Oh, please. Please, let's not talk about it now. We can meet tomorrow. It's getting late. I ought to go.
It's no use, Carol. The door is locked.
Locked. You did kill her. You did.
Burgess thinks I was on the boat. He doesn't know I got off before it sailed. She'd promised to go away with me. When I went back to get her, she laughed. She kept on laughing. I had to stop her.
You killed her. And you let them blame Scott.
What should I do? Give up my life, my work?
You let them blame Scott.
What's his life beside mine? A stupid engineer working in sewers, drain pipes, muck.
You did it all. You bribed that bartender and Cliff Milburn.
And then I flew to Havana and caught the boat there. Don't you think I was rather brilliant?
I think you're mad.
Don't say that. Don't say it, you hear?
You're mad. You're sick. Those headaches of yours, they're all part of it, aren't they?
I didn't want to hurt you, Kansas. I tried to warn you. You wouldn't listen. And now...
No.
You're the only one who knows. The only one.
Open up, Marlowe, open up.
Burgess.
Come on, Marlowe, I know you're in there. I've been trailing you all day.
He couldn't. You're too clever, too smart.
All right, if I have to break it down.
That noise. Make him stop. My head. Everything's spinning. Make him stop. I can't stand it. Make him stop.
It's all over now. Scott has been cleared and we're back on the job. The same old job, the same old routine, the same old boss who doesn't dream his secretary is in love. So I start the day like any other. That means the dictaphone to get my instructions for the morning.
Hello, Kansas. I won't be in today. I've got a lot of important things to tend to down at City Hall.
Well, that's that.
Don't hang up yet. I think I'm going to need you tonight. About 6:30 for dinner.
What?
8:30 for the theater.
Oh.
And after that, on to dance and have some fun.
Oh, Scott.
I mean it, Kansas. Tonight, and tomorrow night, and the night after that, and every night, and every night, and every night, and every night, and every night.
Thank you, Louise Alberton, Walter Abel, Ralph Bellamy, and David Bruce. Thanks also to Wilbur Hatch for the music, and to William Lawrence for his direction. For our next performance from the Globe, we've arranged the revival of a very important motion picture. Not only a great story, but a theme which is which is significant to all people who are concerned with the proper functioning of democracy. This is the Oxbow incident with the stars Edward Arnold, Henry Davenport, and William Ive. Here's a scene or two by way of preview.
I don't suppose many people remember it now. It was back in 1885, you see. A small thing, not much. You might say, just an incident. The town looked almost deserted that day. A few wooden shacks, a blazing sun, one dusty street, and nothing moving except an old tired mongrel dog. Until that cowhand came pounding down the road, pulled up his horse in front of Darby's saloon and yelled,
"Hey, men! Where's everybody? Where are you, men?"
The boys came piling out of the bar. And pretty soon, by the way they sounded, I could tell that something was wrong. So I left my place. I ran the general store, you see, and went right over to find out. Darby was the one who told me, standing behind the bar, polishing glass.
Someone got Larry Kincaid last night. They found him laying in a dry wash this morning.
Dead?
Shot right through the head.
But who? Kincaid didn't have any enemies. Who'd do a thing like that?
There's been a lot of cattle stolen this year.
You mean rustlers?
Maybe. Jeff Farnley's taken it pretty hard. Him and Kincaid were buddies.
Yes, I know.
Then the other boys are kind of hot, too. They find them rustlers, they might do something about it.
A lynching?
I wouldn't be surprised.
You've just heard a sampling of the forthcoming fair from the stage of this Servicemen's Playhouse. At our next performance, the Globe Theater presents Edward Arnold, Henry Davenport, and William Ive in The Oxbow Incident. By the way, if there's some particular movie story or stage play you'd like to have us plan here in adaptation form, drop us a note, will you? Or if there's some star whose voice you'd like to hear over the Globe Theater microphone, just tell us the name and we'll do our best to arrange for the people you want to hear at the earliest possible date. The address remains Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Until the next performance from the Globe Theater then, this is Herbert Marshall saying so long, and I'll be seeing you.
Theater with Herbert Marshall as host and master of ceremonies. The Globe Theater is presented for servicemen and women of the Allied Armed Forces all over the globe. Listen for our next Globe Theater production soon. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.